Good morning, good to see you. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we want to ask please for your help, the help of your Holy Spirit, as we consider your word to us. And we ask please that you would magnify the Lord Jesus in our hearts and minds, that we would have something of a true picture of who he is, and we would marvel at him. Amen. I wonder if you've been thinking of giving up on church recently. Perhaps you've been thinking about giving up on Jesus Christ. Perhaps not so clearly, but just sort of, he doesn't seem as relevant or important as he once did. Well, if that rings true for you in particular this morning, I want to encourage you to continue to place your faith in Jesus Christ, to keep going in the hope held out in the gospel. And this passage from Colossians has profound encouragement to help us do this, because it tells us that Jesus Christ is supreme over all creation. In just a few sentences, Paul presents many remarkable things about Jesus. The subject matter is all of the material creation that we're continuing to discover, the universe and all other possible universes beyond it. Saying that Jesus is supreme over all of this, and he's supreme over all of the spiritual creation as well. Have a look with me at verse 16 on page 1182. For by Jesus Christ all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him. All the physical creation, all the stuff, was made by Jesus. All the spiritual creation, any spiritual powers and rulers, were created by him. And this passage is what is sometimes described as a master narrative, or more technically, a meta-narrative. It's an explanation of everything. The Apostle Paul is saying that everything is created in relation to Jesus Christ. He describes Jesus in verse 15 as the firstborn over all creation. That's not to say that Jesus is the first created being, because Jesus is fully God, but that he's the firstborn in terms of being an heir or an inheritor of creation. So the creation is for his benefit. Paul says that Jesus not only created the universe, but he also sustains it in verse 17. And in him all things hold together. So Jesus is fundamental to the continuing existence of the created universe. The bigness of the level of explanation here is quite breathtaking. It's saying that the fundamental coherence of the universe is because of Jesus. And perhaps you're new to Christian things, or new to church. I wonder what you make of this. Perhaps it's a complete surprise that this is part of the Bible. It can be a very challenging passage of scripture, because it clearly shows us that following Jesus is a total worldview. Jesus isn't just a kind of option amongst others. It's saying that he's a complete explanation, not necessarily in all the detail at the scientific level, but that he's the creator of everything. As we go through our lives, we encounter problems and struggles. Maybe I'm lonely and I need community, or I'm sick and I need to get better. I'm poor and I need support. I don't feel great about myself and I want something to help me. I've become a parent and I need wisdom. I find life to be empty and I need meaning. Often the church meets one of these needs in a person, which causes him or her to turn to God and to join the church community. But it may be that sometime later, he or she finds that church or following Jesus Christ doesn't seem to meet that need anymore. Perhaps life has moved on and that need isn't relevant in the same way. Perhaps new needs have arisen which don't seem to be catered for. And he or she gets discouraged and thinks about giving up. Well, for people in that kind of situation, Colossians shows us that Jesus Christ isn't simply a solution to a need in our life. Colossians says that Jesus Christ is a total explanation of the universe. He's supreme over creation. He is, in himself, the master narrative. Now, following Jesus does satisfy many of the needs in our lives. But we have to understand that our personal contentment is only a small part of the story. The big story is that coming to faith in Christ is about us getting plugged into God's cosmic plan. It's about going with the flow of the way he has set up creation rather than going against it. And what I'm addressing here is the issue of two basic perspectives on why we follow Christ. Perspective one is about Jesus fitting into my life. Christianity is a positive experience which answers some of the problems in my life. Perspective two is about you and me fitting into God's cosmic plan for the universe through Jesus. Do you see the difference there? To put it starkly, is my Christian allegiance primarily about how Jesus benefits me, or is it primarily about the supremacy of Jesus Christ? Colossians shows us that the creation is all about Jesus. All the stuff around us is sourced from Jesus. So if he started to become less significant to you, I encourage you to meditate on the big picture in these verses. I encourage you to continue in him, to hold on to your faith in him. Being part of his story is to be part of the master story. Jesus Christ is supreme over all creation. Then in verse 18, Paul moves his focus from all of creation and he narrows down to talk about the church, part of God's creation. Jesus Christ is supreme over the church. Let's have a look at verse 18. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. The church is described as the body and Jesus as the head. We all know that a body is dependent on its head. If you chop the head off, the body dies. Jesus is the head of the church, and there isn't some other more important authority in the church than Jesus Christ. For the Colossian Christians, in their worlds, there were teachers who were effectively distancing the church body from its head, Jesus Christ. And we'll find out more about this in the coming weeks as we hear preaching on chapter 2. But just briefly, for now, chapter 2, verse 18. Paul writes critically of certain kinds of people who delight in false humility and the worship of angels. Jesus says that this kind of person has lost connection with the head. They've lost connection with Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body grows. And Paul's concern is that this kind of teaching will disqualify Christians, the Colossian Christians, from the prize, as he describes it in verse 18. Will disqualify Christians from eternal life, from the prize of life with Jesus Christ. So because Jesus is the head of the church, we must remain connected to him, which primarily means discipleship according to his teaching. Paul places the church at the very center of God's purposes in his cosmic plan. Jesus creates all things, and then he creates the church. And I think it's always helpful to think of the church in this way, because we can quite easily see the church as simply being some kind of Sunday club, a weekly activity, a safe place to meet nice people, tea and coffee, light refreshments. Many people outside will simply see church as dull, boring, and irrelevant, not their cup of tea. Some of you are into church, but I'm into golf. It's easy to have a sort of take-it-or-leave-it attitude to church, but when we listen to this passage of Scripture, we see that that's quite inappropriate, because Paul understands the church to be a new humanity, which is at the center of God's purposes. It's just on a completely different scale to any other kind of hobby or interest or pastime. God's calling and gathering this new community from all over the world, all sorts of nations. And some of that is represented amongst us this morning. I think it's fair to say that in our day, the church is seen as pretty insignificant in the UK. The significant institutions are the banks, the government, schools and universities, hospitals, big business. These are the important things. Well, where's the church in all of that? Minority interest. Some of you may have been following the story of Facebook floating on the stock exchange this week and raising billions of dollars. This is a story of power, significance, and relevance. You know, new startup company, only really 9 years old. But Colossians shows us that actually, in the purposes of God, the church is much more important than big business, much more important than the banks, much more important than schools and hospitals. Because the church is of eternal significance. So don't give up on church. Sometimes it drives you crazy. You may be struggling with certain people in the church family that you find it difficult to get on with. But don't give up on the church. We have this special relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the head, we are the body. Continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. So we've seen that Jesus is supreme over creation, and he's supreme over the church. And these two wonderful truths form the basis for something even more wonderful, which is that Jesus Christ is sufficient for reconciliation with God. Have a look with me to verses 19 and 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Perhaps if you're unfamiliar with the Christian message, the most striking thing here is that it seems to be presenting that there's a problem between God and his creation. The relationship between God and his creation is broken. And in verses 20 to 23, Paul uses phrases like making peace, alienated from God, enemies in your minds, but now he has reconciled you, free from accusation. What's all this talking about? I wonder if this alienation from God is part of your understanding of the Christian message. I sense that the average Joe and Josephine blogs have no idea that there's any problem between God and his creation. Joe blogs thinks the main issue is whether God exists. And Josephine thinks that religion is about people getting in touch with their spiritual side. But Paul presents the idea of reconciliation with God as intrinsic to the master story of creation. He starts by writing about the whole breadth of creation, everything. But then in just a few sentences, he has dramatically narrowed his focus to the cross. Verse 20, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Paul presents Jesus' death as the hinge event in God's cosmic plan. That's how important the cross is. It's amazing, and I marvel at how Paul's explanation goes from this vast canvas of all things down to this very precise detail about Jesus' historical death. If you've become jaded in your Christian allegiance, then surely this is a wake-up call to reignite you. In verse 21, Paul talks about the condition of the Colossian Christians before they put their faith in Christ. He says they were alienated from God. They were enemies of God in their minds because of their evil behavior. Now, this is striking language, isn't it? Paul doesn't speak of people who are simply disconnected from God because they're ignorant about him. They don't know anything about him. Rather, he speaks of people who are God's enemies. There's alienation between them and God. It speaks of people doing evil things. And because of that, they then become poisoned in their thinking towards God. The bad things they do mean that the mental framework they have to build up because of that antagonizes them towards God and cuts them off from him. So the problem isn't just ignorance of God, it's alienation from him. I wonder if this kind of language connects with you. Or perhaps it seems bizarre to you. The answer to this state of affairs was the shedding of Jesus Christ's blood on the cross. Paul says in verse 20 that this event made peace between God and his creation. In verse 22, he says that reconciliation comes through the death of Christ's physical body. Paul is very specific, his physical body. The reconciliation is historical and it's physically located. It's not simply an idea or a philosophy. It's an event to do with a person. And that person, Jesus, is the same person who made everything in the first place. The Lord's Supper that we will come to eat shortly is a reconciliation meal. It speaks of our relationship with God being restored through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. So the wine represents his blood. And it reminds us of the reconciliation that was won for us through Jesus' physical body. The bread represents his body. So Jesus makes all of creation, and then he sheds his blood on the cross to reconcile creation to himself. It's a story of him making something and that creation moving away from him, becoming alienated, and then him doing the work to restore it and bring it back. Jesus' death was an event of cosmic significance, and it was sufficient to reconcile us with God. Because he's supreme in creation and supreme in the church, we can have confidence that his death is sufficient to reconcile us. Jesus is enough. Now, in the Colossian church, other things were being put alongside Jesus as necessary and essential for salvation, particularly circumcision, the Old Testament practice of the Jewish people. And then obedience to other Old Testament details. Paul is saying that faith in Jesus Christ is sufficient for reconciliation. And I wonder if there are other things that you think you need to add to Jesus in order to be reconciled to God. Do have a think about that. As we come to the end of this sermon and prepare to remember Jesus' reconciliation, the work he did through the bread and wine, so we remember that, we need to note that there is a big if in the final verse, verse 23. Do have a look. Reconciliation through Christ's blood shed on the cross is dependent on our continuing in our faith. Verse 22 and 23. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Getting sidetracked into another gospel, a sort of alternative good news, is dangerous because our reconciliation with God is no longer assured. And this is why Paul wrote the letter. He didn't want the Colossians to lose their salvation by adding things to Jesus' death on the cross. Adding things as essential for being reconciled. It's the same for us today. We need to keep going in Jesus. Keep your faith and trust in him. Don't give up. Don't move to some other gospel. Reconciliation is by faith in Jesus' blood. And that's why when I give you the bread during the Lord's Supper, I often say to you, take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith. So when we come to receive the bread and wine, it's an opportunity for us to place our faith afresh in the death of Jesus Christ. So we eat the bread and we, so to speak, exercise our faith in that moment, recognizing that he died and he is the way that we can be reconciled with God. Place your faith once again in Jesus' historic death, his physical body that died on the cross. And through this, we can have encouragement and confidence that we are reconciled to God. So Jesus Christ is supreme over all creation. Jesus Christ is supreme over the church. And Jesus Christ is sufficient for reconciliation with God.